Appreciate that, and amen to everything you said there. It was 2005. I was at Sharon Baptist Church. Anybody know where Sharon Baptist Church is? Probably. Somebody actually does. On the outskirts of Mayfield, Kentucky. You didn't know Mayfield had outskirts. But on the outskirts of Mayfield, Kentucky, and it was a Sunday night. We were gathered there in Sunday school room. I remember it like it was yesterday. Where I could describe the room to you. 12 chairs, 10 people sat. I know where we were at. And we were working our way through an Experiencing God study. If you hadn't done that, that's a 13-week study that works its way through knowing and seeking God's will. We were working through that study. I was leading the study, and I asked the question that I'd asked to start practically every meeting. Where have you seen God at work? And I could tell. You know, you just know sometimes. I could tell that Miss Betty was sitting right across from me. She had something to say, and she couldn't wait for me to ask that question. Just couldn't wait. And so as soon as I got it out, didn't bit more get it out, and that's, she said, Ernie, I've got something, and I don't know what to do with it. God has told me that there is something going on in East Kentucky, and I'm not sure what that means. I wasn't either. I didn't know. But she was so excited about it. God had made it as clear as day to her, something going on in East Kentucky. Now, what you need to know about this Sharon Baptist Church at this time, as far as I know, I'd been there several years, Melanie and Elizabeth and the rest of the family. We had been there for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years at least at this time. And I don't believe they had ever taken a mission trip anywhere. Just hadn't. That just wasn't, just hadn't for whatever reason. But she said something was going on in East Kentucky. She didn't get that out of her mouth good till Miss Judy, sitting at the end, she said, wow. Said, you know what? I had a dream last night that we were in East Kentucky serving out of this old concrete building, and she described the building to us. And I'm still scratching my head thinking, what am I going to do with this? You know, we're getting ready to start our study here. And about the time she got done with that, Brother Chuck, sitting over on this side, said, Ernie, do you remember that revival meeting that we had probably 6 months ago? We had different speakers. Do you remember that couple that was from East Kentucky? And the ministry that they had and how they described it and what they talked about? And I'm getting a little, I don't know if it was excited or weirded out. I don't know exactly what it was. But I was frantically working through this Bible. I was carrying this Bible at the time. And you see, I just got junk all in here. And I got to thumbing through here, and I pull out that couple's card. I don't know, but that day, 6 months ago, that those folks had talked, I caught them afterwards, and I was just talking with them, and they were sharing more about their ministry, and they ended up giving me a card. So now, I've got three people that are talking about going and serving in East Kentucky at a place where that was not even a topic of conversation 5 minutes before this, and I've got the number of the guy to get something started. Well, we just shut down what we were doing right there. We called the Otterbacks, and we talked to them about, here's what just happened. Tell us how we can serve. I'm not going to give you the whole story, but I can tell you, within a month and a half, we had a vehicle full of people, two trucks full of people, a 16-foot box trailer full of supplies and different things that they had said they needed, and we were headed to East Kentucky, and we served there for a week. And I can tell you, because of that service, because of that time, because of myself and those 12 that went with us, we knew that we were in the center, right exactly in the center of God's will, where we were supposed to be. Knew that. And it was a great time. And out of that experience, we grew closer to God. Because we had experienced, we saw Him put that together. We joined in what He already had going on. He had a mission already there, up and running. We joined what was going on, and we were right where we were supposed to be. And it was a great time. And it was a time of growth, but no doubt, it caused our relationship with God to be closer than it had ever been before. So, I want to talk a little more about that. I want to talk about how that happened. Let me ask a question. Anybody in here have had a best friend? Anybody had? Sure. Everybody's got best friends. We're that best friend that could be your spouse. It could be some childhood friend, right? It could be some recent person you know you've got a lot of similar interest. But one thing I know about your best friend, you've got stories to tell. If you two get together, whoever you are, you've got stories you can tell about things you've done, experiences you've had, things that you've accomplished together. It's the same with our Lord. The Lord built us to have a relationship with Him. And He desires experiences with us. As we have experiences with Him, we grow closer in our relationship. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. It's based on the Experiencing God study, but it is all about the relationship. All about the relationship. So bear with me as I work through this. This is a 13-week course, and we're going to try to do it in 20 minutes here. So let's see what we can do. You see on the screen there, that is the Experiencing God study. That's the front of the workbook, if you will, the most latest revision. And you see the authors there. You see Henry Blackaby. He was the original author. He and Claude King. And then in the last, in this last version, Henry brought his son in on this as well. Claude King. I recognize that name. Something about that name. What is it about Claude King? He's going to be here. He's going to be standing like right here on August the 18th. I believe that's right. Claude King, one of the writers of a study that absolutely changed my life and many lives over a period of time. So Claude King's going to be here, and just a shout out. You'll want to hear him. It'll be my first time to meet him, and I am excited about that. All right, but let's look at in the Word of God for a minute. Let's look at John 14:21. John 14:21. I want to share this passage of Scripture with you. These are Jesus' words. They're written in red. The one who has my commands and keeps them. Let me start again. The one who has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father. I also will love him and will reveal myself to him. A few things here. Do you see the action in this verse? Do you see the action about giving commands and keeping commands? There is action in this verse. Do you see the obedience in this verse? It talks about, again, keeping commands, obedience in this verse. But what's the one word that gets used most in this verse? Love, right? Love. It is about a love relationship. It is all about this love relationship that our Lord wants to have with each and every one of us. All about the relationship. Few things I know, and I hope I can get you to agree with me on this. Few things I know. Our God can do anything. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Right? Our God can do anything. Another thing, our God does not need us to get anything done. You believe that? Our God doesn't need us. We weren't there when he was creating the earth. We weren't there when he put the moon. We talked about the moon a while ago, had a cool picture. He wasn't there when he put the celestial bodies in the sky. He didn't need us. God can take care of that. We know that. God can do anything. He doesn't need us. Here's a third thing, though. God chooses to use us. He chooses to use us. Now, why in the world would God choose to use us? You think it's because we're just so easy to get along with, because we listen so well, because we're so easy to make things just the way they should be? Is that why he likes using us, chooses to use us? I don't think so. Is it because our God is just a little bit on the lazy side? He'd just rather have somebody else do it. I don't think so. No, the reason God uses us, chooses to use us to do his will, is about the relationship. He wants us to have experiences with him to grow the relationship. Just like that best friend, experiences grows the relationship. He doesn't need us, but he chooses to use us because he wants us in a true relationship. So how do we have these experiences? If more experiences grow the relationship, then how do we have more experiences? We know for a fact God's always with us. The Word tells us he's always with us. But experiences with God, those stories that we can tell, experiences with God. How does that happen? Well, in a group like this, we could have an old-fashioned testimony night and everybody talk about the things they've seen God do, and we could go all night with that. I am confident. And everybody's got different things, different ways that God, that they have experienced God, that they've seen God at work, and different things. Lots of ways to do that. But what this study talks about that I've mentioned already, and what I believe is that there's a pattern. There's a pattern that we can learn from on these experiences. And this pattern that I'm going to lay out for you tonight quickly is around seven, we'll call them realities. Seven things that you see happening in the Word of God. So let's go to the next slide there. There's a diagram. I hope you can see that okay. And this is an overview of these seven realities that is a pattern that develops. You can see it time and time again in experiences with God. It comes out in different shapes and forms. But here's a pattern. Number one reality, God is always at work around us. We've talked about that. God has things going on. God is always at work around us. Let's just stay on that diagram for a little bit. I'm going to eventually dig into the ones individually quickly. But a quick overview here. God's at work, and He's at work all the time. It's just going, right? God's at work. His will be done. Number two has to do with the relationship. The reality says that God pursues a continuing love relationship with each of us that's real and personal. That's the reality. God desires a relationship. Because He desires that relationship, He gives us an invitation. That's number three. God invites us to become involved with Him in His work. God gives us this invitation to join in what He's got going on, what His will is, what His plans are. He invites us. And one thing that's very important to realize, and I know you know this, but God still speaks. God, our God, is a living God that loves, that desires a relationship with all of His creation, and He still speaks. And we could talk more about that. But God speaks to us. Once He speaks to us, we've got the invitation, He's spoken to us, we get to a crisis of belief. Here is the decision point. Here's the place where you've got to decide, how much faith do you really have in this God? What He's going to ask is going to be God-sized. If it was easy, if it's something you've already done, could do, who's going to get the glory for that? You probably do. It's going to be God-sized. It's going to be something that causes you to do a check, and work through this crisis of belief. And then once you get through that, there is an adjustment required. Absolutely, every time there is an adjustment required. You can't stay where you are and follow God. There is adjustment of some sort. And then once you get through that adjustment, now you're obeying. You are in God's will. You see the picture there. It's got it up in the arrow, which is God's work that's going on. Now you're obeying God. You're right where He would have you be. And you're experiencing Him. And you're creating a testimony of how God has carried you through this and how He invited you and He promised you, and now He is showing you and He's with you. You obey and experience God. Let me work through an example. In the Bible, you all know this. Let's do Moses. All right? Moses. Moses, let's see, where do we start? Moses, God's got this thing going on, all right? And we know what it is at this point. We know that God had His chosen ones in slavery in Egypt, and by His design, they've been there long enough. And it's time to move them out, and head them towards the promised land. That's God's plan. God's at work. He's got this going on. Chooses to use Moses because he wants a personal, real relationship. Chooses to use Moses. Gives him an invitation by showing Moses what his plans are, where he is at work, allowing him to see the work that he's got going on. And then he speaks to Moses. In Moses' case, through the burning bush. You remember the holy ground. Take off your sandals. The burning bush experience. God speaks to Moses. Moses gets to the crisis of belief. You remember what he says? I stutter. I can't talk. I can't do this. He come up with all these reasons. He's working through this crisis of belief. What do you really believe about your God? If he asks you to do this, do you believe he can do it? Moses works through that. And then he ends up making adjustments. What kind of adjustments did Moses have to make? Well, it was little things like he had run away from Egypt because he had killed somebody. They were trying to kill him the last time he left there. What's he called to do? Go back there. And not just go back there, go back to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh something that Pharaoh doesn't want to hear. That's an adjustment. Moses says, "Yes, Lord." Can you say no, Lord? Does that even work? Can you say, Lord means their Lord. If you say no, are they really your Lord? That's another sermon, right? But no, Lord, just doesn't, they don't go together. You can't say no to your Lord. Anyhow, so Moses is now he's in God's will. He's right where God would have him be, walking down God's will. So that's, and that now there's an experience there. Do you think that experience, the fact that he lived through that, might have helped him at the next time? Maybe the Red Sea. Maybe getting through the desert. Maybe the Ten Commandments. Each experience grows the relationship you have with God. And if you obey and you trust the little things, God will entrust you with the larger things. He grows the relationship to match what he calls you to do. All right. So, we've got 6 minutes to do seven realities. I'm going to blow through these really quick. Buckle your seatbelt. We can talk more about any of them later if you want to. Let's go to the next one. So this is reality number one. God's always at work around you. We've talked about that. You see a Bible verse there from John that talks about even Jesus he just followed what God was doing, right? He saw where God was at work and he joined him. He watched to see where God is at work. Second reality, so after God is at work, God desires a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. So think about that a minute. Let's just talk about that. So God, being God, creator of all things, Lord of all, pursues, desires, wants a relationship with you and me. And not just any old relationship that, let's do this weekend, or let's do this for these 10 days, or that's a continuing love relationship. That goes on and on. That type of relationship is what he desires. Let's move to the next there, reality number three. I got to get out my notes. I can't see my slide here. But reality number three, God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. So when God's always at work, some of it we see, most of it, I contend, we don't. God's got things going on right now that you have no idea, and I have no idea. He might have something going on with the person sitting beside you. He's working through them right now, and you may not know it. However, He does, if He reveals to you where He is at work, if God reveals to you where He's at work, that is your invitation to join in. You're not going to see everything God's got going on. But when God shows you, hey, here's what I got going on, that is your invitation to join Him in what that is. All right? So think about that. All right, got to keep moving though. Number four reality says God speaks by the Holy Spirit through Bible, prayer, and circumstance. And the church to reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. God still speaks. We've already said that. God spoke a lot of different ways in the Old Testament. He spoke through Jesus Christ in the gospel. But from Acts to tonight, He speaks through the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit uses different ways. He uses the Bible. Be in your Bible. He uses prayer. If you're going to have a relationship with anybody, you're going to have conversation, right? Prayer. He uses circumstance. He'll put you in the right place at the right time. Anybody ever had that happen to him? Sure. And He uses the church, the people of the church. One thing that's important to know about all of that, they will always agree. If you're getting one message from one place and another message in the Bible, you're not with God on that, right? They will always agree. So know that God invites you, and then God speaks. And when He speaks, that's God's timing. But those ways He speaks will never contradict each other. Let's move to crisis of belief. Number five, crisis of belief. Anytime you go to follow Him, God's invitation for you to work with Him will always lead to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. It's that decision point that we talked about. When He asks, it's going to be God-sized. It's going to be something that you may not think you can do. And in fact, you can't. It will be God-sized, so big that you may not dream that you could do that. But you join in. You've got the invitation. He's called you to do this. Now, do you believe that God can do what He's called you to do? That is your crisis of belief. I think the world is not seeing God today as much as they should, because we as Christians aren't attempting God-sized things. I believe God's calling us to do them. I don't believe we're getting past the crisis of belief. So God help us to take on God-sized things. All right, so let's move to the next one there. Major adjustments. Oh, God would never move me out of my comfort zone, would He? Let me testify to you right now that God will move you out of your comfort zone. I'm standing here, and this is not comfortable. I'll just say it. But God will move you. Pick your favorite disciple. Did God call for an adjustment for them? Wow, put down your nets and follow me. Adjustments are part of the deal. Once you get past the crisis of belief, you work yourself into a major adjustment. God is not concerned about your comfort. Takes a little bit. We as humans don't like that, but He is not concerned about our comfort. He is concerned about our character, and He's concerned about our relationship with us, not concerned about our comfort. And if He's not concerned about it, we shouldn't be either. And then we get to number seven, obey and experience. Man, this is the sweet spot. You know, once you've been through all the other pieces and now you're in that spot where God has called you to be, you know you're where God called you. And you've been there. You know what I'm talking about. It's not always easy. It's not always even fun. But brother and sister, there is a peace beyond understanding when you are walking in the center of God's will. And that is obedience. And that is now where you have encountered and had experience with God. And it will grow your relationship. If we go back, let's go to the next slide there and the next one. And one more. We're back kind of to where we started. So you see there, God's at work. There's invitation. There's all the different pieces that go around to that. I want you to see that one last time. It's a snowball effect. Once you've been through this pattern once, just like Moses gained encouragement because it worked the first time, it grows to work the second time and the third time. And the experiences grow and the relationship grows. See that circle of growth there. All right, so as the musicians come on up, here's my request. My request to you is pray. Even as when we start the hymn of invitation, pray to see God at work. That's a bold prayer, but I know God will answer that prayer. And when you see God at work, when you see it, that is your invitation. Study the Word. Be in prayer. Watch the circumstances. Love your church. And God will speak through all of that. And you'll end up in a crisis of belief. And then there'll be major adjustments. But ultimately, you will be in the center of God's will, serving exactly where He wants you to be. What a great place to be. So my prayer, you start with a prayer that says, God, show me where you are at work. And know that's your invitation. All right, so this message, it was not designed to tug at your heartstrings. This person here is not skilled enough to do that if he wanted to. As we stand, go ahead and stand, and the music starts. If you feel God speaking to you about any of this we talked about, you can know it's God. It has to be God that's called. It's not the message. It's not the person. It's a God thing. If you have a decision you want to make, the altar is here. I'll be glad to talk with you. Brother Dana will be glad to talk with you. But you come. You come. And use the altar. Use this time to pray what God would have you pray. God, show me where you're at work.
As the deer panteth for